Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. This morning's episode is entitled, The Word That Sustains the Troubled Heart. Yesterday, I read an article that talked about the growing phenomenon of depression among those who are 10 years old and under. The article stressed the fact or the reality of the stress factors that the very young are contending with today. This should be a disturbing phenomenon to all of us. This trend, it seems, is not going to go away soon. It seems to be a trend that will continue to grow. It is interesting that the very young are or find themselves to be immersed in the problems that the culture at large faces. I'm a member of the Board of Mental Health in my community, and as I recently told you, one speaker brought to our awareness that the number one situation that they deal with persons who go into emergency rooms are problems of depression. And so these persons are summarily treated through their crises, and yet others come in to take their place. And so, indeed, in my community too, this is a growing phenomenon. And what compounds this situation or the problem is the fact that resources for these persons are being closed off, or they are becoming inaccessible for appropriate treatment. I am thankful that for so long and for many, many centuries, it has been the work of the church to be involved in the cure of soul. Where else are these persons to go if they cannot get appropriate mental health treatment in their own community, or if the resources are evaporating or drying up? And so, ladies and gentlemen, we have crisis in our culture. And I do not believe that there's a crisis of compassion. I believe that there are many, many persons in our culture who have great compassion and who are doing what they can in their own communities to help those in need. I do believe that. And I do believe that that God sees these persons and what they are doing to help others. I have a friend who is in marriage and family therapist at a school, and she told me that one of the greatest problems she deals with is teen alcoholism. And when she speaks to these students, she says that she hears this: well, why would you want to take away the thing from me that helps me to cope with my family situation? And so alcohol becomes an anesthetic and a coping mechanism for those who are facing incredible problems at home. What we face today is not easy. And we need to step out and to step up, because the times demand it from us. I'm going to be reading to you this morning from Isaiah. Some have called his writing the Gospel of Isaiah. He is one of the greatest 8th century prophets of ancient Israel. In the writing of Isaiah, particularly in chapter 42, we have what is called a servant song, one of several servant songs that point to the messianic person of Jesus or Jesus. In chapter 42 of Isaiah, we have a prophecy of Spider that is applied to Jesus by Matthew. I'm going to begin reading from verse 1. Here is my servant whom I hold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nation. He will not shout nor cry out, or raise his voice in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter nor be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law, the island will put their hope. This is what God, the Lord, says: he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people, Ruach, and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you a watchman. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, former things have taken place, and new things I declare before they spring into being. I announce them to you. The servant song is of particular interest because these different servant songs together provide a picture of the character of the prophesied one, that is the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. I want you to know that Isaiah speaks of his public ministry that would take place during the first century AD. And yes, most certainly he would appear to those of the first century AD as an itinerant young preacher with this radical message about the kingdom of God. He will gather to himself a group of individuals whom he will train to carry forth his message of the kingdom of God after his ascension and departure. But Isaiah here focuses on his public ministry to the people of the first century AD in Israel, who were under the Pax Romana, that is, the Peace of Rome, which brought with it also the Iron Heel of Rome and the reluctance of governors to be appointed to Palestine because of its frequent uprising that was not a place that Roman governors would choose to go. But then, during the first century, Jesus appears on the scene. And from the very beginning of his public ministry, which is recorded in Luke chapter 4, he gives his first message in the synagogue of his hometown. The scroll of Isaiah is brought by the keeper, and the scroll of Isaiah is unrolled to a particular section. And the speaker, that is, Jesus, talks about this particular passage in a very passionate way, and it creates distress among the people. But in that passage, he talks about his ministry. He speaks from Isaiah 61, which reads in verse 1, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me." The Greek word in the Septuagint is krio, which means to anoint or pour over, from which we get the word, of course, Christian comes from that word. "Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." In Luke chapter 4, the word brokenhearted is literally the shattered in heart. The shattered in heart. "To proclaim freedom for the captives." In Luke 4, the word captives there in the Greek means those taken at the point of a spear. Those taken at the point of a spear. Just think about that picture with regard to those who are captive. Think about those today in our midst who are captives of anger and who cannot find a way out of their anger. and who do not realize, unless they have had their appropriate help, that anger is a demand. Anger is always a demand. And that it is highly destructive psychologically. It is highly destructive also physiologically. Because the anger, that is, the outpouring of the anger releases cortisol, the bloodstream, which is very corrosive and very destructive to the body and just to its homeostasis and to the body's immune system. In the Old Testament, anger is centered in the nostrils, and the Hebrew word is af. In the Old Testament, also, anger is seen, particularly in the first literature of the prophets, be highly destructive. Walk not with an angry man unless you learn his way, get a snare to your soul. Think about those who are captives, not to anger so much as to pride. Think about the destructive power of hubris. And what that does to a soul. This person is also a captive. Think about those who are in active rebellion against the known will of God, whose lives could be fruitful and useful and buoyant and brilliant. He goes on, and released from darkness for the prisoners to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then at that point in Luke's gospel, Jesus stops, because he does not go beyond that point and talk about the day of vengeance of our God. That goes into something different altogether. But God's word to us about the person or the person of Jesus and his character during his public ministry is for us in Isaiah 42 verse 3, a bruised reed. And so a bruised reed speaks of an individual or a person who has been hurt. And so for the messianic figure of Jesus, we understand that he does not break or he does not take away from the person who is already moved. The word bruise in Hebrew is basus, signifies what is cracked and therefore half broken already. What is cracked and therefore half broken already. I want you to enter meaningfully into this word picture because the Bible or the biblical documents is not designed for us to consider what God has given within these pages for at an arm's distance. We must enter into things. These truths must become up close and personal to us. They must be absorbed into our being so that we might be changed, so that the love of God will be mediated to those that through our hearts. I'm sure you have met a bruised reed. I'm sure at some point you have been in the presence of a bruised reed, whether if it is an adult or a young child. Today, the bruised reeds among children are growing. People are shooting children in schools. People are shooting members of their community in place of business. And so there is misery. And people are taking out what they feel about themselves on others in a very destructive manner. We need to talk more about God's love. This is the word that sustains the troubled in heart, the love of God. The love of God can be spoken of in a crisis situation. The word of God can be spoken of meaningfully in a crisis situation or in an emergency situation. The word of God and the love of God can be spoken of meaningfully in a traumatic situation. God's word does enter into trauma. God's word can speak to the condition of trauma. The love of God can be meaningful communicated to those who are suffering today from trauma they suffered long ago. It is therefore an imperative I bring before you this morning that we look into this picture of the bruised reed, that is, what is cracked and therefore have broken already. Excuse me, and see the need that is there, the dire need that is there, the distress, the personal distress, the misery that beckons for tenderness and love. And we have that in the person of the Jesus and in the Word of God. Notice verse 3 goes on in Isaiah 42 and reads, "And a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out." This is a very interesting picture because it speaks of that which is burning evil and very nearly extinguished. It bespeaks those whose inner and outer life is only hanging by a slender thread. I'm sure you have met in your experience persons who are in extremes or at the point of death, and persons who have believed that they have taken all they can take. They have had enough disappointment. They have had enough stress. They are tired of being tired. They are tired of the anxiety. They've grown weary of their battle with depression. It is important that we communicate the love of God to persons in distress. It is important that God's love is communicated because this word sustains the weary, and God's word offers genuine hope. God's word is empowered by His Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who makes real the love of God and the Word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not die, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be rescued. And that word saved means to be rescued. The word saved, the word means to be dragged off from danger, dragged out of danger, dragged away from danger. And it also carries the idea of reluctance to be removed from being in peril. In other words, people might resist, or maybe there may be resistance on being dragged away from danger. Think about the heart that has been so abused and the heart that has been conditioned to a certain way of being. And therefore, because it is its familiar ground, it does not want to leave. We see this and understand this from the biology of attachment and how, with regard to even the worst situation, there's that love, because the young one identifies with the parental figure. And so there is that attachment, because the young one is not aware of the dysfunctional nature of the parent or the parental figure. The attachment is there, which shows something very, very terrifying and very wonderful at the same time. For God so loved the world that he gave. And so, here in this passage, a smoldering wick, he will not fast. That is, those whose inner and outer life is only hanging by a slender thread, he will not wound further, but will seek to bring rescue into their lives. This is the greatest message, the message of the love of God. When funds run out, when resources dry up, thank God that we still have his word to share with others. And I'm not speaking of the word of God as an alternate or an alternative or as a substitute, as a wonderful message that is empowered by the Spirit of God that brings hope that stabilizes the mind, gives people a foundation and an anchor of the soul. We know that persons, for the most part, even after they have gone to therapy, get better on their own if they have an appropriate community who supports them. That community involvement is highly vital to the well-being of persons. So let me leave you this morning that God loves you. We will visit this topic again next time. I'm your host, Dr.